Do you get frustrated with porn filters that block too much or too little? Let me introduce you to Plucky, a new filter that you customize. Here's how it works. You set your own boundaries, deciding which websites are and aren't safe for you. If you're thinking, I'm not sure I can trust myself all the time, Plucky is made for you. It enforces the boundaries that you set, and it enforces them with steel, so you can't self-sabotage when tempted. Plucky puts your best self in control. People in over 100 countries use Plucky. Pricing is on a sliding scale, so it's affordable for everyone. For a free 30-day trial with no sign-up required, go to pluckyfilter.com. Take courage, take control, get Plucky. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. My apologies for the poor audio quality on this episode. I truly hope that it won't distract you too much from the content. So in this episode, Stephen and I talk about the power of co, meaning together or jointly, in relationships and recovery. We dive into how collaboration and connection are essential for personal growth and healing, especially in marriage and overcoming addiction. Dr. Cervantes shares insights on co-parenting, co-planning, and co-nurturing, emphasizing that love and community are vital for a fulfilling life. We also discuss the church's role in fostering a sense of belonging and unity. Join us as we explore how embracing co can transform our lives and relationships. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For more resources, visit bebroken.org or check out the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we always invite you to rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now, let's learn together about the power of co. All right, Dr. Cervantes, how are you today?
I am blessed and glad to be here, my brother.
Awesome. Well, you know what? I want to let people know about your website. We'll talk about it later, but drmarriage.org.
Yes,
because,
thank you.
A lot of our recent podcasts are just from your thoughts section on the website. Now, what's interesting is what every listener and viewer should know is that this is not a new process for Stephen. It's just a new outlet.
So, oh, that's good.
Stephen's been coming up with thoughts and ideas for decades. He's just now putting them onto this website where you're getting kind of this daily dose of these thoughts.
And I'm wondering if it's too much.
Yeah.
I keep thinking I'm going to run out. And then God pops another thought in. I write about it. And then I think, are people getting buried?
Yeah.
But we're getting lots of good feedback.
No, it's good. And I look at it this way. You know, you and I talk all the time with guys, especially who are starting out on their journey of recovery. And, you know, they'll ask all kinds of advice. Like, hey, what resources do I need? And one of the things you and I have said for years is, you know, you really can't throw too many resources at this issue.
Right.
You know, it's like, so you need lots of thoughts. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be able to fully process or interpret or apply all of these ideas at the pace that you may be cranking them out. But it's good to have them all anyway.
It's good, so. Yeah. And just do one or two, or read a few of them. You know, just some will just jump out at you, and others go, "Oh, that's okay."
So today's, I was going through kind of looking at which ones would interest me that I would want to talk about on the podcast, and I just see this. And they all have little headings, you know, they got little titles or whatever. And this one just said co, C-O.
Co.
And I thought, is he doing something off like the periodic table or something? You know, like, is this a chemical or whatever, you know? And so anyway, Stephen, how do we co more, right?
Okay, so Ken Costa is a financial advisor. He wrote this book called The $100 Million Wealth Transfer. And he was talking about how $100 million would be passed down from parents to children. That's how much wealth is around, and it's going down, and what's going to be the impact of all that money. Anyway, he starts talking about it. He says we need more co. And, you know, I love words and playing with words. I went, co, what does that mean? So I look up the word co in in Latin, okay? It's a prefix. And it means joint or jointly or together. And co is used when a couple finds an area of interest or opportunity and they work together. And they help each other out for a greater goal. Co. So tell me when you saw it, to say something about what you're thinking now.
So obviously when I first just saw it on the page, I had not a clue what this could be about. So when I got in here and saw about the idea we need more co and the fact that it was really about that prefix Latin, then it started making more sense, because I'm like, you know, you think about something being conjoined, or you think about something being, you know, even compartmentalized. You know, there's a sense in which now I get it. Okay, these things are meant to be attached. These things are meant to be doing them together. And then, of course, when you brought that into the relational context, more of like the family, more marriage context, then I started thinking, yeah, this could be a great little quick reminder for any of us when we're starting to think, I'm going to do this on my own, or I'm going to do something separately,
opposite,
and just be able to say, nope, co. I need
we
more
need
co.
More co.
So
we
I
need,
got a co right now.
That's going to be our line. We need more co.
Yeah.
And on the last podcast, you talked about us being lights, a reflection of Christ in community.
Right.
Community. So we're going to be playing off the co word all podcasts. But I love that when you said community. Mm-hmm. There's some co in that. There's some togetherness and a group, right? A joining together in fellowship. So you say something.
Well, I will say that this is an area of my own life that is in constant growth mode.
Okay.
And part of it is because I just think, you know, I don't think I'm unique in this, in the idea of just generally wanting to drift towards self, or just wanting to drift towards, oh, I can do that on my own, or I can do, you know, and not realizing that maybe this idea of co and the fact that we were made for community is not merely about what is necessary, but it's there's a benefit to it that is just, if I can put it in these terms, delightful.
Mm.
So to give you an example, or just to try to pick something off the top of my head, there may be something in my marriage where I could easily do fill in the blank by myself. I mean, I'm capable to do that by myself. But if I'm invited in, my wife is invited into it, or she's capable to do something by herself, but I'm invited into it, and we experience that community, that sense of doing co, even though this is not about saying, I must go help because you're incapable of that. It's like I'm being invited to experience that thing together, and there's just a delight to it.
I love that word.
Not because it's like you're needing my abilities, or I'm needing your abilities on something, but it's just because we can do it together. Also, the other thing, too, about this is I think when there is maybe work to be done, the idea of co, that shared load, it makes the full load lighter for each of us, right? So
when I'm thinking of Adam and Eve, Adam needed some co. You know, he just did. It was fun, the garden. But when God said, no, I got to make these people together, we'll need a little more co here than the richness, right? Mm-hmm. A sense of partnership, a sense of two instead of one. And, you know, I'm reading, you were at the conference, the SEALS conference, mm-hmm. where you talked about the theology of sexuality, mm-hmm. and how our marriages and our sexuality, and male and female togetherness, you know, they all reflect God. It's a reflection of God. Marriage is a reflection. Sexuality, being sexual, being male, being female. You know, it's a reflection of God. And so that idea of co means someone with me. Mm-hmm.
And even that idea of, again, thinking about the reflection of God, what does it take to love? I mean, you could try to make the argument that there's a type of self-love, that, but it is relational,
yeah.
Right? The heart of love is co.
The good stuff.
It goes together. You have to have other people for love to exist, you know, so.
Yes. So let's throw some other words so people can kind of think about how we're thinking. They can understand what we're thinking. So co-planning a trip together, right? Mm-hmm. Or co-parenting the children. And now your kids are launched now. Co-aging together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Co-being single again. I mean, not single, but empty nesters.
Empty nest, yeah.
Yeah. Or co-participating in church. It's just fun to go to church and see people that have been there for a long time. How are you? Good. I love your word, delight. I think God gave you that word for this podcast. Mm-hmm. A delight. Don't you go to church sometimes and somebody smiles, somebody laughs and comes up to you, and it's just delight in your soul.
Well, there's a comfort that comes from that, right? Because there's people that you go, hey, we have the same God, we have the same hope. And sometimes if you're feeling down, or you're just feeling like I've got a burden, and again, a brother or sister comes along in Christ and says, how can I pray for you? Or I'm glad to see you here today. There's a sense in which, oh my goodness, co just happened.
Yes.
Right? We connected. You know, it's like
that's it. This lady has had a spinal injury for years. Well, she came to church walking, and she'd had surgery.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, Co, you're here, you know? You have been missed. You're a part of our group. You've been here forever, and you've been home. We've been praying for you. You know, so co-participating in church, or co-investing our money for the future, or co-operating to get a task done. You know, it's this is a different twist, but common, or CO, common destiny. Mm-hmm. There's the CO again, two people working towards a common destiny.
Yeah, and I just feel like there's a whole lot more that we could put. I mean, you can even start making up words, right, in terms of just co this, co that.
Yes.
The point is, what does it look like for us to step into connection with others on the same journey? That's the key. I think the whole idea of co
to is, connect. Yes. Yeah, here it is.
Is and I think this is really good, especially I'm thinking again about my own journey, but I'm also thinking about a lot of guys in recovery, and their addictions or whatever have just have really trained them to be disconnected, to be isolated, to be anti-co.
Right.
And so there's a lot of retraining that has to happen. So I don't want anybody to hear this and just go, oh, now that I've got this new little, you know, pithy, fun little word to use, automatically I'm going to be a co-person.
Right. You know, disconnect, right?
Exactly.
Is what you're talking about. If life was hard, if I had trauma, if there was fighting in my home growing up, and I learned to disconnect, and then I've lived a life of disconnection, right? I mean, don't you find a lot of lonely people underneath addiction?
Oh, totally.
When you take the addiction off of them, you see people are disconnected, detached.
So here's one thing that always, you know, it happens every time at the weekend at the Gateway to Freedom workshop. You get a bunch of guys together, and you start going to areas in their life that they've never talked to anyone about before. You're putting them into a group where they're having to connect. They're having to share their story with other men. Now, first couple of sessions, you got guys that it's sheer terror for a lot of them, right? It's like, I mean, thankfully we do a great job of creating a safe environment where they feel safe.
And when they show up, they're standing 20 feet apart. Every guy that shows up is 20 feet and not talking to another guy. Maybe they're looking over, but they are 20 feet apart.
There's no co going on at that point.
In the beginning, when they all arrive.
But here's what happens. Every single time as the stories start to get shared and as that safety grows and the sense of brotherhood, by the end, here's what's interesting about this, because you were mentioning about how sometimes, you know, when you lift the addiction and some of the things that you see, one of the things you also see is you see in these weekends, you see men that are desperate for co.
Yes.
By the end of the weekend, they're brothers. Like,
that's it. And they're like kids connected, laughing and playing and telling stories.
And it's like they needed that safety to have the shame lifted off of them, to have the chains broken so that they can see, I have purpose in co. Like, I was made for
connection. We're alike. Mm-hmm. And you have a story that twists this way and my ending twists that way, but we all have a story, and we were boys and we were confused and we found sexuality and we didn't know what to do, but it was powerful and exciting, and then we misused it for too long, and then we got alone by ourselves and stayed there, and you know, and it's just a whole world of figuring out how to entertain yourself, live with yourself, escape to be with yourself. No co.
Yeah. And the vast majority of men who come to our workshops are married. So over half of them are married. And so the lights start coming on around how much they have been anti-co in their marriage, because they've been hiding in this addiction. They've been having all these separate things that they're doing that are not part of a healthy marriage. And so I think what happens coming out of those weekends, and even when we're dealing with married couples, is then there's a huge learning curve, wouldn't you say, in terms of saying, okay, what does it look like for a couple then to start doing co after there's been huge brokenness? You know, you don't just jump in immediately and say, hey, we're going to be co-sexual again. Like, so, there's some things that it just takes a while for. But,
and even if this guy had a great weekend and his wife's hurting back home and he goes back home and he goes, well, great, you got a vacation and I got stuck here with this mess, you know. So it's hard. Co doesn't immediately happen. It's not quick. It's not like a beach ball that just pops out of the water you've been holding down. But there it is, connection. No, it's a small step-by-step process.
But I think that doesn't change the fact that we're made for this.
That's right.
Right? We're made for co.
That's right.
We need to be connecting.
Yes. Read that list down there.
So what this might look like for a couple is, in terms of trying to really navigate co, is what does it look like for us to co-lead?
Yeah. To now, be partners, equal partners.
You know what? This can already start to create an argument because of people's own traditions or theological backgrounds,
and my way and your way.
Well, just the gross, poor teaching on submission and some of those kind of things. It's like, what's it look like for us to co-lead?
To co-lead.
What does it look like for us to come together as equal value image bearers of God and say, what is this going to look like for how we, you know, lead in our lives? What are our priorities? You know, how are we going to do that together rather than one sort of either controlling the other?
Absolutely.
What about co-working through challenges? I mean, that's a little bit of what we're talking about here, right?
Yes.
Recovery. Oh, man. And this is a big one, right, Stephen? Because
that's a big one.
There are kind of three big aspects to this when a marriage faces the blow up of a sexual betrayal. Mm. There's the work that a husband has to do for his issues. There's really the healing that a wife has to do for her trauma.
Yes.
And then there's the restoration and the relationship aspect of what are they going to do in the marriage. But what is it?
Probably building something they've never built before.
Brand new. Yeah, it's going to be very new.
Yeah.
But what does it look like to have an attitude that says, even though we've got individual things that we really are trying to work on, how do we still co-work through these challenges? In other words, how can there be openness for a husband to share what's going on in his recovery journey with his wife? How can there be enough safety for a wife to be able to share some of her pain and, you know, That's co.
That is. That's hard co, but yeah. It's good. It's important co, right? Safety and trust and, you know, day to day, walk it out. Two hurt people growing and healing.
And another one that's often challenging is co-sacrificing. What does it look like for us to sacrifice for one another? And usually, you know, I'm as a man, I'm going to lean a little harder on the guys because especially if you've been having a, you know, sexual addiction, you have really been learning how to be super selfish. And so I'm going to lean on you guys and say that's a huge one that you need to work on. What does it look like for co-sacrifice? You bear the load that you need to bear in terms of sacrificing for your wife. Amen. Guess what? The God's word says there's only one of the spouses that's called to go all the way to death for the other, and that's the husband. What does it look like for you to be Christ-like and sacrifice in that way? So it doesn't mean that, you know, sacrifice doesn't go both ways.
Right.
But I tend to just lean harder on the guys.
No, that's good. We're guys talking to guys, and the women get to listen and get some education, but we're men training men. The men need the training, right? I mean, that's sort of a driving part, and I know I'm a little biased because part of your ministry also addresses the needs of the women.
Absolutely.
But you and I have always been pound on the guys, challenge the guys. It's going to sound like break them down, build them up. Wake them up, you know, kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, another co here is co-learning. What does it look like to learn about each other's wants, needs, and fears? And let's talk about that just for a little bit because, you know, we we just recently did a podcast talking about just kind of emotional growth and the difficulty that so many have in that, yes. Especially men. So what does that look like to co-learn each other's wants and needs and fears and kind of go to some of that place?
Yeah. You know, everybody, and I've said this before, is very patterned and very repetitive, and our wounds are can be known. We got wounded, but most of us aren't being wounded. We're not in a phase of being wounded. We got wounded early, and we just nurture and salve those wounds. Don't make me feel bad about myself, or you know, don't tell me I'm failing or I messed up. Don't fire my shame, and the whole idea that. I said this earlier, if you just listen, people will tell you where they're hurting and what they need. There's this theory called communication theory. It goes like this, I cannot not tell my story. Mm-hmm. Did you hear it? I will always tell you my story. I might be talking about this and this. And then I said, yeah, we don't have enough money to buy that windshield wiper. Oh, there's the story, right? And talk about this and this and this. And you know what happened? A little Freddy last week. And I was supposed to be there's the story, right? They're always going. So one, if you listen, people will tell you their story and what they want and what they need.
Now, one thing I would say, this is where I might gently lean on the women a little bit more on this one. Good. And here's the reason why. Co-learning about each other's wants, needs, and fears, generally speaking, and I know all these things typically operate in a bell curve when we start talking about generalities like this between men and women. Generally speaking, though, men are slower verbal processors. And so there is a sense in which to have him know and share wants, needs, and fears, this may be the first time in his life he's ever been invited into a space to do that. So some of the co-learning on that is there's going to be probably a little bit of an imbalance in the marriage relationship for a little bit where that may come way more naturally to the wife to just be like, oh, I've been spending my whole life talking about that with my girlfriends and talking about that. And so there's an ease that maybe a wife has more in this area than the husband. And so just there's a patience required there. And that's something that needs to be said, I think, about this co thing as well, is even when we talk about co, it does not mean that we come to these co-things with equal ability or equal experience. So there's going to be a little bit of an imbalance. But the co-point is what? We're going to do it together.
And when you think about somebody that's involved in addiction, they've been escaping and fantasizing and thinking and planning and withdrawing and isolating. And now you say, okay, now let's co-express our wants and needs. Now, come on, you do it. well, my mind hasn't been there. Mm-hmm. And now, and yours has, and you've talked to all your friends and your language. And so these guys like stumble and stutter, and you go, well, you're hiding. It's like, no, I'm doing the, you know, why didn't you look at me in the eye? Why did you look down? It's like, well, I'm nervous. I'm not, you know?
Yeah.
And so your point is well made.
Yeah.
If you're not trained, then start slowly training yourself, being trained, let your spouse train you, get some training.
Yeah, and be persistent at it. It just takes time. And
yeah.
And remember, when we're talking about this idea of more co, what is that? More togetherness, more community. The goal isn't so much, like even in this idea of co-learning about each other's wants, needs, and fears, it isn't about saying, I need to get to the very end of every single need and want and fear that you have. No, it's like we're on the journey together. So there's a learning aspect to it. And then also, I love this one, co-dreaming.
Amen.
Like, what does it look like to come together and say, man, let's just,
dream. What I want to do next year.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, I want to go to Marfa, Texas. I want to see the stars in Marfa, Texas, because it's dark there. And to think that, okay, we're going to take a long weekend and try, or I want to go to Italy, you know, mm-hmm. What can we dream? Let's save some money and put a patio on the back of the house. Or, you know, what can we dream about?
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, how are we co-nurturing each other? Mm-hmm. Now, talk about that word nurture for a little bit. Like, what does that mean?
Well, think about a child and we rock them and we hold them and... Interesting, a guy told me he and his wife were having conflict, and he said, I went to my wife and I said, can you just hold me? Oh, my heart just,
man.
Right, because we as men don't say that. That's
right.
Nurturing. Can you nurture me? The world's beat on me all day long. I've saved this and gave that and helped here, and I'm exhausted. I haven't been sleeping, and the kids are acting, and... Can you just hold me and nurture me, right? Because as guys, we need it too. We might get goofy and think it's all sexual, but this co thing is not sexual.
Right.
It's intimacy, right? It's connection. It's oneness that God talks about, where she might need nurturing, hugging, soothing, kind words, and I might need it.
Yeah, and even though we've kind of narrowed this conversation down to marriage, co is for everybody, you know? I mean, we need co. We need to be, need to have those that we're coming alongside of and saying, how can we do these things together? That's really what it means to need more co.
Hey, would you read the last paragraph? There's two, and let's talk about that.
Okay, just where it says Ken Costa.
Yep.
So Ken Costa had some closing thoughts about the church. The church cannot narrowly define its mission as purely spiritual. The role of co-destiny in the church is to serve the whole person. We must serve them spiritually, emotionally, financially, and culturally. We cannot survive if we do not rediscover what it means to be a community. We must learn how to do life together in a rapidly declining, hostile world. The individualism, isolation, and loneliness of the past is not working. The church needs hindsight, insight, and foresight of each generation that attends church. We must be visionaries and plan our co-destiny.
Right? We have to pull together tighter and leave our differences. And as the world's getting hostile and turning against God, right, we have to do community better. And you know, Dave Ramsey's been doing the financial stuff, you know. And then you think about health issues. And how do we help people with their health and fitness? And how do we help them spiritually and emotionally? And I mean, he's saying if the church has the answers, we package the church as a place where people want to go and get help.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think about even that word community. I know we've been putting the co on community. we've been breaking that word up the wrong way. But because it's really, when you think about community, it's common unity.
Yes.
So there is a sense in which, what is co? It's not saying you and I have to perfectly agree on every kind of idea or opinion or anything, but it's saying, can we have unity when we look and say, there is a mission out here that God has for us.
Yes.
There's a spiritual mission. There's an emotional growth mission. There's a relational, there's a gospel mission that we have. Right. But can we come together and be like, let's do this together. We're going to co and we're going to have unity in that. Not yes. meaning again, uniformity. It's not all the same way yes. in the way that we do things, but we're saying we're going in the same direction.
And I love the acceptance of the church and the belonging of the church.
Yeah.
Right? Because he talks about individualism, isolationism, loneliness. Mm-hmm. That's a rough place to be, live and die in that.
Yeah. Well, we hope this has been a helpful conversation, and hopefully you'll have that kind of spinning in your head of, I need more co.
Like, you need more co.
More co. Give me more co. And just when you feel yourself drift, or when you feel like, oh, man, I'm starting to isolate myself, and just say, I need more co. And just move toward others and doing things together with others.
And so, you could say that to your wife. That'd be a great line to say, I need more co.
Yeah.
I mean, connection, community, hugs, give me more co. It'd be a short, cute version of hug me right now, and I'll
exactly.
hug you. You know, that's good.
That's great.
So,
well, go to drmarriage.org to get more of these daily thoughts that will help you mature and grow. And as always, we love having you here as a listener and a viewer, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time. Take care.
Thanks.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.